Again, we commend ourselves. Blessed God and Father, we ask for your help again in the final presentation of this, thy precious word, bringing before us this couple, an example of what a couple in Christ should be like. We ask now that thou wouldst give us further clarity and help too in the discussions as we seek your help. We bless thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's read the verses in Romans 16, 3 and 5. 3 to 5. Salute Prisca, Priscilla, and Aquila, my fellow workmen in Christ Jesus, who for my life stake their own neck, to whom not I only am thankful, but also all the assemblies of the nations. And then 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 19. The assemblies of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla, with the assembly in their house salute you much in the Lord. And then 2 Timothy 4 and verse 19. Salute Prisca, Priscilla, and Aquila, and the house of Onesiphorus. The last lecture before us is to present somewhat of the features of loving the brethren. A unique feature that was found in this couple. But in order for that to happen, there had to be the same feature existing between them. Loving one another. Because you could not be an extension of something that is not present. They had it among themselves. As a godly couple, when we started off, we said that this is a godly marriage. A marriage which is intended to replicate Christ and the assembly, in which Christ loves the assembly, or loved the assembly and gave himself for it, and that he is presently sanctifying it, washing it by the precious word in order to present it to himself without spot. There is, as I quote that verse, I'm reminded of a book that's written by Tony Evans. Some of you might have heard of him. He writes, he has two booklets that he writes particularly for husbands and wives. One has to do, well, it's the name is The Man's Role in the Home. And the woman's role in the home. Two distinctly different booklets. They're about 57 pages each. And they are chock full of instruction bearing from Ephesians 5 for the man. And then 1 Peter 3 for the woman. And in the book on the men using Ephesians 5, he points out that these features that are true of the Lord Jesus, in that he gave himself for the assembly, that he, looking at verse 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the assembly and delivered himself for it. He speaks about emulating that feature of giving. But he also speaks about emulating the feature of sanctifying your wife, being your wife's savior, being your wife's supporter, a complement in every way. And I think in that booklet, we understand somewhat of the special nature of love that Aquila and Priscilla shared together. Something intimate, something close, something very near to one another. And in enjoying that intimacy, they were then able to extend themselves with the very self-same love that they shared together. They were now able to extend that love to the brethren. So don't expect, if the affections are not flowing at home, they will not freely flow on the outside. They will be fake. They will not be true. We cannot afford to give ourselves an impression on the outside of what is not on the inside. They gave an impression of what was on the inside by how they displayed themselves on the outside. So what is your home like? It's rhetorical for now, but I think it's something for us to contemplate. How do we handle the rough edges at home? How are we attending to the matters that unearth and shake us a bit? How are we attending to them? Do we display the grace and the features of Christ in how we deal with our wives and our husbands? Those are questions that come home to one's heart, and I trust come home to your own heart as well. Someone said to me, it's a good thing your wife's not here today, so you could speak freely. So that's something to think about. So that, how about, and since we are not doing children, but we've got to throw the children in here to some degree as well. Do the children, did they see the love flowing reciprocally with us? Do they see that? Or what do they see? Do they see turmoil, perplexities, a bad example? Well, certainly for Aquila and Priscilla, the household was a perfect setting. We're not told of any children in their lives. But I take the liberty to say that if there was anyone looking on their relationship, it was clear that they had a unique affection for one another. They knew the truth of brotherly love. Let brotherly love flow, as in Hebrews 13:1. Let me take us back a little to something that I thought of before in terms of Isaac and Rebecca. You remember it says that after she lighted off the camel, having inquired, who is this man that's walking in the field? We're told that Isaac took her into his mother Sarah's tent and he loved her. I think that's a feature of Aquila and Priscilla. They knew how to go into their tent. Remember, they are tent makers. They knew how to be in their tent together in the absolute affection of intimacy and love. They knew it with one another. Theirs was an array of affections that flowed freely between themselves. And that is what should happen for us. They had fervent love one for another. They were on fire. When you saw them, undoubtedly, their faces lit up, because there was something unique that flowed between both of them. They were abiding in love and abiding in light at the same time, because as you abide in the light, you know, light reveals the character, the true character of the individual is revealed by light. And certainly there was nothing to obscure the view where they were concerned, because it was clear that it was intrinsic, a love that was very much reciprocal and enjoyed within, between them as a couple. How did they love the brethren then? They had put up the Apostle Paul, undoubtedly, when he was in Corinth. He came to them, he stayed with them. There was the spirit in Aquila and Priscilla of care and hospitality. They understood that their house was not their house. Their vehicle of transport, whatever it was not theirs. The food that they bought was not theirs. They understood that there was to be this kind of a sharing with the brethren, because there is a oneness with the brethren. Besides the oneness that they enjoyed between themselves as a married couple, they also understood the extension with the brethren. That you and I are related. We may be different in color. We may be different in jobs. Yes, there will be differences. But the Christian company is a unique company of persons merged together from all different walks of life. No matter where you're from, what gives us commonality is Christ. The relationship we enjoy as a result of our links with Christ. So Aquila and Priscilla now extends beyond themselves to embrace the brethren and to love the brethren in a very unique way. Remember John in the first epistle of John chapter 2 verse 10 says, "He that loves his brother abides in light." Wonderful place to be. You're abiding in light, in the knowledge of things, in the knowledge of divine things, in divine light. And we appreciate one another for who we are in Christ, not for who we are sometimes in our practical behavior, because you may not want to tolerate me sometimes. But we love the brethren because of who we are in Christ. In this matter of hospitality, where they housed the brethren, they knew what it meant to not say, "My things are mine." You remember Barnabas in the early church? He was the first, as it were, to go all out and sell his property and bring the money and lay it at the feet of the apostles for the purpose of distribution to the saints. I think that this is a characteristical feature of Aquila and Priscilla. They knew how to give with the interest of the brethren at heart, the interest of Christ most of all. A hospitable spirit. We read that in apparently while in Rome again, because they most likely returned to Rome, having now come from Rome, gone to Corinth, from Corinth to Ephesus, and now from Ephesus they seemingly are again back in Rome. And I believe that in Rome there is also the opening up of their house again, to make their house a place where the brethren can find engagement with one another and where the truth can be disseminated. May we appreciate the importance
of what our houses ought to be. May we desire to make our houses little havens of rest for the brethren. May we want to have our houses opened up so that we can enjoy fellowship with one another, where we can get to know the brethren. Not know their idiosyncrasies and their weirdness, because some of us are very weird, but that we get to know the brethren in close proximity. So we learn the brethren, we learn the features of Christ that come out in one another. And that will provide for us spiritual growth and development, because we enhance one another. Hospitality is an important thing. So there is the care that Aquila and Priscilla gives. There is the opening up of all that they have, making it available to the brethren. And there is the home church, where the saints can come together in the atmosphere of love and affection for Christ, and can have the remembrance meeting, can have the ministry of the word, can have the study of the word. And this is the character of their house. Care and concern and interest. Now, lastly, in Romans 16, we read of laying down their lives for the apostle, their necks, for the apostle Paul. Laying down their necks for the apostle Paul. Must have been a lot of affection there, wouldn't you think? Because you don't just, you know, we don't just go out and put our necks on the block for any and anyone. I think of the Lord Jesus speaking of himself in the Good Shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. He valued the sheep. He valued the sheep and realized that the hireling, the thief, the one who just only works for dollars, has an interest in scattering the sheep. Or the wolves have an interest in scattering the sheep, and the hireling simply is working to get paid. And so when he sees the wolf appearing, what does he do? He leaves the sheep. But the good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for the sheep. The wonderful and beautiful thing to get out of this, beloved, is this, from the lives of Aquila and Priscilla, that they were emulators. They emulated and imitated the very features of Christ. That's the true character of what a Christian should be. We don't imitate anything for purpose, for personal gain, or any of that sort. Because if we came into Christianity with the objective that, you know what, I'm going to make a name for myself in it by doing great exploits, the brethren will love me, they will elevate me, that's the character of Ananias and Sapphira, wasn't it? Unfortunate. They saw Barnabas doing his act. They figured, we can get some notoriety too, so we're going to go and do it. But we'll just lie. So if we're going to go into the Christian testimony with the objective of making a splash for ourselves, let's be challenged and guarded at the fact that there is no showroom experience in Christianity. It's not a museum for display of anything of myself. It is a place for the display of Christ. And this is what Aquila and Priscilla were doing. They were displaying Christ in their household, to the point of when it came to the situation of the Apostle Paul, it says, They laid down their neck. They imitated Christ, who laid down his life. They imitated him and laid down their necks for the brethren. So it would not be anything hard for them to do when the abnormal circumstances, and it would seem from my looking at this that it might have been connected with the great catastrophic fire that occurred in Rome in about AD 64, which left them homeless and many of the brethren. And so what did Aquila and Priscilla do in the circumstances of abnormality? They didn't say, what we have belongs to us. They didn't say, I can't be bothered with you, I've got to take care of me. They were not a self-centered, egotistic couple. The whole history that we've gone through today, which demonstrates them as a couple with tender interest and care from start to finish. Care for one another, care externally was ever present with them, so that when they went through this situation in Rome, they were making themselves available to the brethren. Let's bring it home. We talked about hospitality. Yes, we can put a meal on the table, no problem, very quickly, and share with the brethren. But what happens when the brethren desire more than a meal? What happens? Is it at that time I say, I did my duty. There's nothing more I can do. You better go to Emo or go to Edric. Is that what I do? Or am I prepared to go the extra mile as to what it would be required of me to meet the need of the brethren? Am I prepared to put my neck on the line? This is the matter of death almost. It's sacrifice. It is giving up of what I have so that you might benefit. And so that the Lord's glory and honor might be had. As opposed to saying, I did my task. Let me slip away. You know how when needs occur, sometimes some of us are the first to slip out the door and leave brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so up front to take it. I remember the cases at times when, you know, we would be asked, who's going to put up the laboring brother who's coming in? Who's going to put him up this weekend? And you didn't get the quick, I will answers. There was an absolute silence. There was silence in heaven for half an hour. You know?
The sisters had been meeting.
The sisters have to meet and discuss it. There was never the readiness of, sure, I'm available, my house is available, my car is available, whatever I have. As the saints of the early church, whatever they had never said to themselves, it's mine exclusively. It belongs to the brethren. And I believe that this is the attitude that we close off with our dear brother and sister, brother Aquila and sister Priscilla, that theirs was ever a constant flowing theme. Again, we want to say that we might have made it appear as though they never had any problems in life. The scripture does not. And I believe when scripture is silent about specific issues, negative things, then we need to keep silent about that. Because what the scripture wants to do is to bring out the positive element for us so that we might feed on that. And so I think that that is what has happened with Aquila and Priscilla. The positive element of the truth. So that we might go out from here today committed afresh that if adjustment is needed in my marriage relationship, I'm going to do it so that I might reflect somewhat of the feature of what was in Aquila and Priscilla, which were features of Christ. May the Lord help us that as having gone through this exercise on this couple, that we might be that much more responsible. Because for every time that God's word is opened up to us, we become doubly responsible to answer to the truth concerning it. May he help us in this for his name's sake.
Amen.